Hi Andreas, have you prepared a topic for this week?
Certainly I have.
This is the Cloud Enough Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud Enough Podcast. My name is Michael.
And my name is Andreas.
We are two brothers focusing 100% on AWS. Every other week, one of us prepares the topic of the podcast. The topic is not known to the other one, which makes it a surprise to me this week. But before we start, do you remember what we talked about last time, Andreas?
Sure, I do. Last episode, you talked about AWS Backup and explained to us how we can use AWS Backup as the one place where we manage all our backups on AWS for EFS, EBS, RDS, DynamoDB, and so on.
Okay, and what is the topic of this week, Andreas?
This time, we talk about a new feature called EC2 Instance Connect.
So can you explain what EC2 Instance Connect is?
Yeah, so EC2 Instance Connect, it's simple to explain that. So actually what you do, there's an API call. It's called send SSH public key. And by using that, you can actually send your public key to an EC2 instance. So the public key is needed when you establish a SSH connection to authenticate. And with this new API call, you can actually send your key to each EC2 instance in your AWS account. And on the other side, then the SSD daemon that runs on the EC2 instance is just looking up over the metadata service if there is a new public key that has been uploaded by the send SSH public key command. So this is how you can very easily distribute your SSH key to your EC2 instances. So that's the good part. The downside of it is, by default, this is enabled on Amazon Linux 2 and the Ubuntu AMIs. So probably you are not aware of this. And when you have granted access to the send SSH public key API call to your IAM roles, IAM users, they can use that to actually connect to all EC2 instances running in your account, which is maybe not and probably not what you expect.
Besides the AMI that I have to use and the IAM permissions, is there something else that is required to make it work?
Yeah, so EC2 Instance Connect, there are three things that are required so that you can use it. So first of all, EC2 Instance Connect needs to be installed, which is by default installed on Amazon Linux 2 and Ubuntu. So when you're using one of these two AMIs, the EC2 Instance Connect is already running. The second requirement is that you have allowed traffic on port 22. So that's plain SSH. So you need to allow traffic to the EC2 instances. So of course, if you are using SSH right now with, for example, a Bastion host or a VPN connection or even from public internet, that's something you have already done usually, allowing traffic to SSH to be able to log into your EC2 instances. So this is the second requirement. And the third requirement is you need an IAM user or an IAM role with permissions to EC2 instance connect send SSH public key.
Okay, I get it. And those permissions are included if I use power user access or administrator access. So probably a lot of people have access already.
Nothing else is needed. With these three requirements, everyone with an IAM user in the role can actually SSH into every instance in your AWS account, which was not possible before, because before EC2 Instance Connect, you needed also to distribute your SSH public keys to the machines, which you might have done with a tool.
Okay, so I can see how it helps me if I'm managing my machines using SSH, but I can also see that it is, like, for most setups, they run in default mode, so which means they usually have port 22 open and they have a lot of IAM permissions granted to their users. This could be a big security problem for companies if they want to separate workloads in teams and within a single account. This is really a serious problem. Interesting.
The problem occurs for organizations that really need to make sure that not everyone who has access to IAM has also access to each and every EC2 instance. So if that's something you need to do, then you need to be very aware of this problem and you need to protect yourself from it.
Okay, so I think this is a good point, Andreas. So can you explain us how we actually can protect ourselves? So what measures are available to kind of solve this issue that you introduced?
Yeah, so one option is, of course, just to uninstall EC2 Instance Connect from your EC2 instances, so from your machine images. So then you have just the old behavior that you need to distribute your SSH keys manually or with your own mechanism. So uninstalling EC2 Instance Connect is one option. The other option is, of course, that you just block port 22 on the network layer. And the third option is globally disable that by using a so-called service control policy on the organization level of your AWS account.
Okay, but I mean, what if I want to use EC2 Instance Connect? So if uninstalling is not an option, what else could I do to make it more secure than the defaults?
Yeah, so if you want to benefit from EC2 Instance Connect, which is, of course, also a convenient feature, two things you can do. First, of course, you should keep your security groups as close as possible. Maybe use VPN connections in different VPCs or use different network configurations. And the other option is to only grant access to the SendSSH public key action to specific IAM roles or specific users. Unfortunately, at least that's what I got from the documentation, it is not possible to use a condition to restrict the SendSSH public key action to a specific tags on EC2 instances. So at least what I found in documentation, all you can do is on a resource level, which means you have to add every single EC2 instance ID to your IAM policy, you can only grant access to certain EC2 instances.
Okay.
Maybe the documentation is not complete. Maybe that's a feature that is coming in a few weeks or few months. But that's also a bummer if you want to actually isolate certain EC2 instances from certain users. And also what you also have to keep in mind, really, every AWS IAM user or IAM role that you grant also access to configure the identity and access management configuration can actually change this configuration, of course. So then you also need to make sure that the users and roles don't have access to, make changes to IAM policies or create new IAM users and so on. That's maybe not that easy to accomplish, actually. You can then use permission boundaries, but then it gets really complicated on an IAM permission level.
So what I find also interesting is that if I compare this to the blog post that I've written about SSM Session Manager, it seems to be even a bigger problem with EC2 Instance Connect, because with Session Manager, the big difference was that you also need permissions on the EC2 side. And with permissions, I mean IAM permissions. So there was a special action needed in IAM permissions to make it work. But with EC2 Instance Connect, you don't have to touch the EC2 instance in terms of IAM policies. So it just works without any permissions, which is very interesting.
Absolutely. And compared to Session Manager, so with the Systems Manager Session Manager, you also have the option to define conditions based on EC2 tags with an IAM policy. So that's also a big difference. So there we also already have that feature that we can grant access to just specific tags and specific EC2 instances. So that's a big difference as well. So overall, I think, what's really wondering me is why AWS is not communicating much more about this new feature and the new, you could say a backdoor that they implemented into all your EC2 instances that are starting from Amazon Linux 2 and Ubuntu.
If I think about enterprises where it's really a challenge for the people to keep themselves up to date with AWS, I'm very certain that most of them don't even know that EC2 Instance Connect exists. Which is even scarier because, you really have to keep yourself up to date with AWS to actually realize that there is a new feature that introduced this problem to you. And in these large organizations where lots of people work in the same AWS accounts, this is actually where the problem, or where this actually becomes a problem. And I hope that, they can use the service control policies, at least at the beginning, to just get rid of the problem by kind of denying it on the organization level. And then they can see how they handle this problem.
So overall, I think the defaults are important, especially when it comes to security. And yeah, that's a big issue.
Thank you, Andreas, for preparing the topic of the podcast. And also thank you for listening to our podcast. If you have any feedback for us, please get in touch. You can send us an email to hello@cloudonaut.io. We are looking forward to your feedback.
Bye, Michael.